And welcome to the lunch here, where we're going to be talking about the law of attraction. And I want to start out with a disclaimer. So I've been camping the last couple of days, and sleeping with my daughter is on an air mattress is like sleeping on a popcorn popper. So if I say something that doesn't make any sense, just let me know, because I am really tired right now. So just, you know, if I lose my track of thought or say something that doesn't make sense, just help me out here, okay? So that being said, what we're here to talk about today is absolutely the most relevant, important thing in any of our lives, about just helping us get on track to live the lives we came here to live. And, you know, I wrote, years ago, I wrote a book called The Law of Attraction Made Simple. You know, so I've been studying the Law of Attraction for a while. Just because you wrote a book called The Law of Attraction Made Simple doesn't mean you always practice this stuff, right? And not too long ago, I got Esther and Jerry Hicks of the famous Law of Attraction people, Ask and It Is Given, wrote a series of children's books called Sarah. And it's a novel form with this young girl, Sarah, and her life experiences. And then she's got this mentor who explains how the law of attraction is working through her life experiences and that sort of thing. You know, my 8-year-old daughter loved these books, read these books and loved them. And I read these books and I was like, it just reminded me of so much I had forgotten. Or gave me a different perspective on stuff I knew, but just a slightly different angle. And so I've really been in an inquiry about this law of attraction stuff for about the last month. You know, and I have this other program going on called the Wealth Consciousness Bootcamp, where you spend an hour a day working on yourself, right? So I've really been thinking about this and observing this and studying this for the last month. And one of the biggest things that people do just across the board is counterintent, is pushing against what we want instead of focusing on what we want, right? So the law of attraction, in a nutshell, says whatever you give your energy, attention, and focus to is what you get, whether that's what you want or what you don't want. Like attracts like. And we push against counterintent so much. I'm seeing it all over the place in my life because I'm looking for it. I'm seeing it all over the place in other people's lives. And that's what we really going to focus on here today, is that whole counterintent piece and how you can start to see it and understand it. Does that make sense? So far I'm making sense? Excellent. So Einstein said something along the lines of, the most important decision you're ever going to make is, do you live in a friendly universe? Right? And, I mean, a decision like that is such a fundamental, foundational decision. Is this a friendly universe out there that's going to contribute to me and support me and that sort of thing, or is it not? You know, so we combine that with Henry Ford's famous saying of, whether you think you can or think you can't, either way, you're right. So we combine those two statements and we have, if you think it's a friendly universe, it is. If you think it's not, you're right too. And again, we get up to such mischief in our heads, and nobody's doing this on purpose. Mass consciousness has taught us how to focus on what we don't want. And our parents and our teachers and just life experience, everyone out there is so busy focusing on what they don't want that that's just what we've learned to do. So to actually stop and pause and pay attention to what you're focusing on is novel ground. And it's not just what you're focusing on, but it's your feelings. Your feelings are what really, really run the law of attraction, which really run your non-conscious programming. And most of us don't pay attention to our feelings. We've learned not to feel our feelings and to suppress them and to ignore them and to not really pay attention to them. And it's the feelings that run things. So if you're sitting there thinking about growing your business, for example, right? That's a great positive thought. I'm going to grow my business. But if the feeling is deflation or tension or angst or doubt or fear or sadness or anything like that, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to grow your business. You're going to attract situations and circumstances and experiences in your life that allow you to experience that angst, fear, worry, doubt, all that sort of stuff going on. even though you're saying your affirmations of I have a successful business or doing that kind of work, if the feelings aren't in aligned with that, it's impossible to get what you want. And who here is like great at feeling your feelings? Raise your hand. I'm putting mine down. One person out of the group, right? So we've learned to just not pay attention to our feelings, right? And to stuff them. And to start to just really get honest and pay attention to what am I feeling about this? How am I feeling? Is incredibly, incredibly powerful things to do. And the thing about our feelings is we can change our feelings once we become aware of them. So anybody read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning? Handful of people in the room. Right, supposedly that's one of the 10 most influential books of all times. And Viktor Frankl was in the Nazi prison camps, part of the Holocaust, right? He survived, but not only did he survive, but he survived as a whole human being, right? He wasn't bitter, angry, that sort of thing. He kept his heart open through that horrible experience. And the one sentence summary of that book for me is his saying that circumstances outside our control are going to impact our lives all the time. But the one thing we do control, the one thing we can control, is how we choose to respond to those things. Right? So he didn't volunteer, hey, yeah, send me to the prison camp, that sounds like fun. Right? That's circumstances outside his control. And he chose how he responded to it. Another really great example, that, like, these are the people who set the bar really high for us, right? To show us what's possible for human beings, is Nelson Mandela. Right? Unjustly imprisoned for 20 years or whatever it was. They had to change his guards on a regular basis because the people whose job it was to be mean to him would fall in love with him. Because he chose to love them first. Right? Could you imagine the guy who's like punching you in the face and you just give him love? I mean, that's setting the bar pretty darn high, right? But that's the essence of that quote. Circumstances outside our control. Right? Nelson Mandela didn't say, hey, sure, imprison me. That sounds like a good time. Yeah, 20 years, sure. No, it happened. But he controlled his response. And when we really get that, this is the essence of the law of attraction, that there's never a valid excuse to have a bad day. There's never a valid excuse to have a bad hour. I wouldn't say there's never a valid excuse to have a bad moment, because it's not bad to have a flash of emotion and then go, whoa, that's heading in a direction I don't want to go, and shift it. No, that's going to happen. That's part of being human, right? So if we don't stay there, no damage is done. It's when we have that flash of, quote, negative emotion, and then we dwell on it for the next year. Anybody done that before? Right? And you keep thinking about it and thinking about, oh, that Gary guy, he stood me up for coffee 3 months ago, and I'm not quite over it yet. That Gary didn't, by the way. But don't we do stuff like that? You know, what I'm putting out to the universe is, stand me up for coffee, frustration, disappointment, and that's going to come back to me. Right? Because we hang on to that stuff. We nurture those grudges. And there's never a good excuse for feeling bad. So in the Sarah books, they keep saying this message over and over again, that someday you're going to realize, you're going to become important enough to yourself to choose to be happy. Someday you're going to become important enough to yourself to choose to be happy. Because if I'm not being happy right now, first of all, I'm never going to get this moment in time back. Right? So I'm wasting life right now. And not only that, but it's contaminating my future. So if I'm unhappy now, I'm attracting further unhappiness into my life. A great, great way to think of the law of attraction is a boomerang. Right? What happens if you throw a boomerang? Comes back to you, right? So I'm sorry you guys are eating, but I'm going to do this anyway. What happens if you throw a poop-covered boomerang? It's not a good experience, right? That's what we're doing when we are not feeling love in the moment, when we aren't being happy, when we aren't feeling good in the moment, not only are we not enjoying right here and right now, but we're messing with our future, because that's going to come back to us over and over. And if we throw out a love-covered boomerang, that's going to come back too, right? And back to Viktor Frankl, we have a choice, right? If Nelson Mandela could throw out love-covered boomerangs, then we can probably do the same, right? If Viktor Frankl could throw out love-covered boomerangs, we could probably do the same. If Helen Keller, I mean, these are all people who have just shown us what's possible, right? The deaf, dumb, and blind girl says life is an exciting adventure or nothing at all, right? I mean, if anyone had an excuse to whine and complain, that would be her, right? That's not what she put out. That's not what came back. Right? So going back to those feelings, and this is huge, because we're not used to paying attention to those feelings. So a silly little story that illustrates this point. I bought a pair of fishing waders at a garage sale. So first of all, word of advice, don't ever do that. Right? Because it's like I bought a sieve at the garage sale. Right? So I got these waders that fill up and I'm slosh, 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 right? And not long after I found my new waders were very leaky, I was in a store and they had this great sale on waders. And I don't know why, but I didn't buy a pair that day. And then the next day I'm like, what was I doing? And I went back there and they had shipped all their inventory off to their store in the mountains. It's like, oh man. That was like a month ago. I still haven't found a decent pair of waders since then. And I finally got it yesterday as I was sloshing around in my water-filled waders again. Squish, squish, squish. It's kind of fun when you take them off and you can pour like a gallon of water out of your leg. But anyway, I got it. I am resisting. I am pushing against. I'm feeling bad. I'm still beating up on myself for something small of not buying those waders. And because that condition is going on in my head, I can't find a good deal on waders out there. Because I'm in my own way, because of that feeling piece. And as soon as I can let go of that, back to Einstein, do you live in a friendly universe, right? The universe is out there ready to give us everything we want, to give you your magnificent life. And it's us that's blocking that. There's a continual flow of well-being, a continual flow of prosperity, a continual flow of abundance that we can tap into or not. It's like your faucet at home, right? Whether the faucet is on or not, that water's there waiting, right? And if you turn the faucet on, you get to experience water. That's in our lives. If we turn the faucet on, we get to experience all this stuff, abundance, prosperity, the ability to get what you want. And most of the time we're busy standing on the faucet handle to make sure it doesn't get turned on. Not on purpose, it's just life. That's what I was doing with those waders. I was blocking fishing waders coming into my life. And if I'm doing it on something as insignificant as a pair of fishing waders, do you think we'd maybe do this on bigger things in our lives? Yeah. There's another quote in one of the Sarah books where they're explaining this, and you know, he says, if you feel little nap, I'm back. Okay. If you feel poor, you cannot attract prosperity. If you feel fat, you cannot attract skinniness. If you feel injustice, you cannot attract justice. Right, and we could go on down the road. If you feel unlovable, you cannot attract love. Right? They're mutually exclusive things, and it's paying attention to those feelings. And when we pay attention to those feelings and we notice the negative feeling, that is a time, a moment to celebrate. To stop and go, because here's what people do, they notice and then they beat up on themselves for being in a negative space. Right? Anybody ever done that? Now, if you didn't raise your hand, there's a Liars Anonymous Club that meets here later on. You don't even have to leave, right? Yeah, no, we've all done that, right? And that is, that's the dumbest thing we can ever do. because we're penalizing ourselves for awareness. We're penalizing ourselves for being awake and conscious and noticing, versus noticing that and celebrating and going, whoa, right now is a moment of power. Because right now, I can do something different. And instead of sending that negative energy out, you know, when's the best time to notice you've got a poop-covered boomerang? How about right now before you throw it, right? So you can just set it down. Right? Once you've thrown it, it's too late. That's the moment of power to celebrate and go, yes, I noticed. And that means that right now, in this very moment in time, I can do something different. I can shift my focus, I can shift my energy, I can shift how I'm feeling, and in doing that, I'm throwing out a different quality of boomerang that's going to come back in a very different way. But whatever you're feeling is everything. And it's such a, it's not really a paradox, it's just an interesting challenge, because again, so many of us, we're just not used to feeling. We really aren't. You know? And, Blaise Pascal, old French guy, I don't remember when he lived, right? His one of his sayings is, all of mankind's problems stem from the inability, from man's inability to sit in a room quietly by himself for 10 minutes. Right? I butchered that, but whatever. He's dead. He doesn't care. Right? You know, I mean, society, mass consciousness doesn't tell us to be introspective. They say, here, watch this, do this, right? Distraction, diversion, anything but be present with yourself. Anything but explore yourself and go, what's going on with me? How do I feel about that? So if you think about an area in your life right now where you aren't getting the results you want, and you just get honest, there's going to be a bad feeling there. There's not a, woohoo, this is great. Because if there was, that result would be very different. And it will never change until you change that bad feeling. And that's changing it in the moment, and it's changing it repeatedly over time until you start to shift that balance. And we can shift those feelings at any given time. Right? Just think of one of your favorite memories. Do you feel different than you did just a minute ago? Are you putting out a different vibration? Right? Quantum physics, everything is energy. Our thoughts and emotions are energy. Our energy, what goes out comes back. Right? Just thinking of a positive memory. You know, and this is one of the challenges in life, right? Okay, so we've got a lot of entrepreneurs in the room. Anybody ever lost a client? Of course, right? You know, and it's easy to focus on that and go, oh, you know, getting clients is hard and oh, this and that and that sort of thing. And as soon as you do that, that's what you're putting out instead of remembering the times where you had great clients and where getting new business was easy and where business found you and you not only got a client, but you got a friend, right? We have a choice of which one of those we remember, and mass consciousness, history in life has trained us to remember the bad stuff. I mean, that's just what the average person does, and that produces an average life. So we've got to change the mental habits if we want to create an extraordinary life for ourselves. But how much time do we spend chewing over garbage in our head, right? Way more than is useful, because zero is useful, right? But we do it a lot, and it creates that feeling environment where we don't get what we want. So we were playing with this... on the camping trip, right? So my daughter was slicing some cheese for some cheese and crackers there. She says, I don't want to cut my thumb. 2 seconds later, she's like, hey, Dad, do you have a Band-Aid? All right? Well, like we saw it that quick. Do we get a thumbs up there? Yeah. Right? It was that quick. She said, I don't want to cut my thumb. I better be careful. I don't want to cut my thumb. Hey, Dad, did you bring a Band-Aid along? Yeah. They're walking around the lake. There's this section where it's really steep. It's almost like a cliff edge. And my other daughter caught herself thinking, I sure don't want to fall here.
I never did fall.
Yes, thank goodness. Right? But she caught herself, right? Oh, that's not the right thought. You know, that's this catch yourself and shift it. So yesterday, we have these little, it's like an arm floating armchair, and you put on scuba flippers and you kick across the lake, So, like, I dragged my daughter across, I towed her across the lake, you know, and this, and what, anyway, my legs were killing me last night, and gone up and down this mountainside like 20 times, get stuff from the car to the lake and all of that. So we're sitting around the campfire, and I kind of curl my leg up, and I could just feel my hamstring tighten up, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have cramps tonight, right? Nice self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Yeah, because who doesn't want cramps at night, right? But I calmed myself and said, hey, how about I just intend happy legs? And I didn't have cramps, right? But, I mean, we'll do that over and over again, that sort of thing, right? I mean, these are just little things in a camping trip, right? Where nothing significant. But all this counter intent, all this focus on what you don't want. Don't want to fall down that cliff. Don't want to cut my thumb. Don't want my legs to hurt. Right? All this energy being spent in the wrong direction, creating that bad feeling. And then the lake was down a little bit, so I like fishing a whole lot more than my daughters do. Right? So they were kind of over it. So they're going around kind of scavenging, you know, because finding weights and lures and that sort of thing, you know. So Sierra said, I want to find a lure. And she went out and she found an old rusty lure. And then she's like, oh, yeah, the clarity piece, okay. Right? We got to get clear about what went on. Because she, let me back up a second here. Right? So the universe is a neutral place. Let me say it even a different way. There's always, 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 there's an agenda being fulfilled in our lives. It's just a question of whether it's the agenda we want or the agenda we don't want. But there's always an agenda being filled. And the universe will just say, oh, here's the agenda. Great, let me get to work on this. Right? So Sierra, I want to find a lure. The universe goes, oh, go look over there. I mean, she didn't get a little voice in her head, I don't think. But anyway, did you? No. But she, you know, found this old rusty lure. And then she's like, well, that's not really what I wanted. Right? So then she got a clearer intention and said, I want to find, what did you say to yourself? A nice lure. I just want to find a nice lure. Sure enough, she went and found one. Right? Oftentimes I write my intentions of how I want my day to go in the morning. And I often will write unexpected income. And every time I write that, I'll for sure find change on the ground. You know, so be grateful for the change, right? Because it shows the law of attraction, interactive nature of things. But I'm looking for something with a few more zeros, right? But the universe said, the universe delivered, right? I put out there unexpected income. The universe said, here you go. Here you go, right? There's always that agenda being fulfilled. And so we got to get clear about what agenda is going on and which one are we giving our energy and intention to. And intention is such a strong force too. And that's an area a lot of people have room to build some muscle about. We get in this rut of just kind of taking life as it comes instead of setting some intentions of how do you want your day to go? How do you want? And some people are better at this than others, but a lot of people are really just drifting through life. You know, instead of saying, hey, here's what I want. Here's what I want. And if you don't say what you want, imagine going into a restaurant and the waiter comes over to your table and says, can I help you? And you don't even say anything. You just stare at him or her. Right? The waiter's not going to be able to help you. Right? Because you're not asking for what you want. And then maybe you kind of get, oh, well, food. I would like some food, please. Right? That waiter still can't really be of use to you. Once you get specific and clear, the waiter can help you out, right? If you tell the waiter what you want, he's going to bring it. Same thing with the universe or God or whatever term works with your belief system there. Again, it's an abundant universe. It is a totally abundant universe. Right? Have you ever seen a spaceship come in and bring more oxygen and water and forests and that? No, I mean, this is an abundant, self-sustaining place we live in. It's an abundant universe. It's all there. It's just, do we have the faucet on or off and tapped into it? And are we clearly asking for what we want? Because if we don't, the waiter can't help you if you don't clearly ask for what you want.
The other day I was noticing how delightful it is to go in the hot, just to go in the shade. And I thought, a tree, there's like trillions of trees around the world, and they're all, they're waiting to give me shade, to give me 20 degrees break in the temperature. And so I just, it just really hit me what, how much abundance that, even just that is.
Mm. And what Connie touched on there, so it's all about the feelings, and appreciation and gratitude is such an easy way to shift how you're feeling. And it could be, you know, that there's a person you're having some friction with. You could look at them and go, what can I appreciate about that person? And it could be you shift your attention entirely and you start appreciating trees, even though you've got something going on with this person. It doesn't matter, as long as you shift those feelings. And when you're feeling good, you're tapped into this never-ending flow of well-being, this never-ending flow of manifestation. And when you're not feeling good, you're not tapped into that. It's really that simple. Are you important enough to yourself to choose to feel good? That's the takeaway question for the day. Are you important enough to do the work to create some new habits to feel good simply because it's in your power, because you can?
I had a great experience this morning. I was driving the speed limit, and I actually was like, oh, wow, I'm actually going to the speed limit, because I usually go 40 and a 45 on this one section. And I turned left, and this guy just whipped around me and flipped me off, and I was like, oh. And I just sent him love and hope that he had a much better day than
it's doing what Jennifer did hundreds of times, thousands of times, maybe hundreds of times a day. Again, back to Viktor Frankl, we have a choice, right? Could Jennifer have flipped that guy off and been supposedly justified in doing it? And could she still be thinking about that rude driver? Yeah, she could. And she'd be wasting her life at the moment and messing with her future and negatively impacting her business and negatively impacting the quality of her life and the quality of her family life and on because of the energy she's putting out. Or she can choose to give love. Right? So to change your feelings, gratitude and appreciation like Connie shared, give love like Jennifer shared, are two super powerful, easy to use tools. So give love. Rhonda Byrne, in her book The Power, just goes, I can summarize the whole book in two words: give love. Right? Give love. Because we're either giving love or we're giving not love. So we're either in a state of positive attraction or we're in a state of negative attraction at every moment. And by giving love, you change the feelings. Right? And so she gave love to the driver. You know, and we can sit there and we can give love. I'll tell you what, when I started giving love to my bank account, the balance grew really quick. How? Why? Because that's the way it works. Because I wasn't resisting, in resistance to pushing against what was there, I was focused on what I want. Give love to my bank account. Right? Again, that pushing against thing is so subtle. And it shows up all over the place. And again, in the boot camp, we talk about this every morning, and someone every morning has got to share about, oh gosh, here's how I was pushing against, here's how I was pushing against, because it's just what we've learned to do. And anytime we're pushing against, we've got the faucet of well-being turned off. So giving love opens that up, right? Does that make sense? How if you're worried about the bank account or just, oh, do I got money to pay the bill? Right? You're pushing against abundance and prosperity coming into your life. And if you're just loving your bank account, right? So instead of pushing against, relaxing towards. Rather than pushing against, relaxing towards. So everyone, just pause for a moment and give love to your bank account. And if this whole give love thing is like, what does that mean? How do you do that? Just do it. You can even tap on the center of your chest to kind of wake up the heart energy center and just push love out. So send love to your bank account. And send love to your clients. And send love to your prospects. And send love to your goals. And send love to whatever else comes to mind. When I'm working out, this is usually what I do. I just kind of do stream of consciousness, sending love to whatever pops into my head. So then I'm getting a physical workout, and I'm also getting a mental, emotional, spiritual workout by sending love to all these different areas of my life. Send love to your credit card company. Send love to the electric company. Send love to on and on and on. Does that make sense? So gratitude, appreciation, and sending love are our easy... And let's throw one more in there. And memories are our three easiest ways to shift out of a bad feeling and into a good feeling. And it doesn't matter if you think about the same memory 8,000 times. As long as it's a positive memory that puts you into that feeling good, that puts you into the natural state of attraction, you're doing good things for yourself. And, yes, Judy.
One of the things that I realized is when I was in that negative state, the blowout feeling, so to speak, I became frustrated with trying to get out because I was attempting to shift. So what I did is to work on changing that is I visualized way back when we were little kids, you know, turning the channel, like in the old-fashioned way.
Pre-remotes?
Yes, without the remotes. I was the child that had to turn the channel for my brothers and my sister, too. So I was the human remote. So now I physically visualize myself turning the channel to a different state of feeling.
Nice. Yeah, good. Hey, Sabine, did you know that we used to have to get up and walk to the TV and turn the channel? You see her face? Yeah, they didn't have remotes. We had to walk over to the TV and go click. Yeah, horrible. So, yeah. Yeah, thank you, Judy. That's a great analogy. Right? I mean, and whatever works, right? Yeah, changing the channel. Redirecting that energy, redirecting that feeling. And again, when you become important enough to yourself to do this work, your life will blossom like you cannot imagine. And as long as we let old habits and status quo run things, well, we'll continue to have what we have now. Carrying on with what Judy said there, in the law of attraction, where often a lot of times the bad feelings come in, is when we start to think about how. And the how is not our job. The what you want is your job. The how is not. Right? So today, I scheduled a lunch and prayed to this topic, right? But the how of how each one of you got here, that's not my doing. Right? I've known Matt for 6-7 years, and this is the first lunch he's made, right? And I got an email from him this morning, hey, is there still room? I'm like, wow, I haven't seen Matt in forever, that'll be great. That's not my doing, that's not, you know, I wasn't there sitting, okay, I'm going to send some energy towards Matt because I think he's going to, no, right? And a bunch of people, you know, who, how you all got here, that's God, that's the universe, whatever term we want to use, managing the details. And so often we start to try to think how. And as soon as we get into that how, we usually get into bad feelings. So on the boot camp call yesterday morning, this lady who's in a direct sales business was close to a new promotion, a new level, but you know she's got to do a certain amount of volume for that to happen. And all of a sudden she was, you know, totally in her head, well, where is this going to come from? How is this going to happen? Right? Think about your business. You never, it's not like you know who your next client is and where they're coming from. Right? We never know. But now it's this insignificant thing, so she's all busy in her head. How's this going to happen? You know, that's shutting the faucet off and standing on the handle again. No, just get clear on what you want. Give love and energy and attention to you achieving your goal. And let the details take care of themselves. But we're pretty good about getting into that how and messing with ourselves, aren't we? Instead of just standing back and trusting and relaxing into it. Again, pushing against or relaxing towards. And there's a Bible verse that just says, "Be still and know that I am God." And for me, does anybody, is there anyone who actually knows what verse that is? Sure. I don't know, but that, let's go with that. Anyway, like, be still and know that I am God. For me, that, whenever I get anxious, worried, whenever I'm starting to put that negative energy into things, I just sit with that. You know, I just literally sit and repeat that over and over to myself. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And I do believe that I live in an abundant universe. And I do believe that my life is falling together and everything is coming together for my betterment. And so if I just get still and trust, instead of trying to figure things out and control, then I change my state of feeling, which allows the beneficial experiences to come into my life. But we'll, you know, what's that old saying, like a dog on a bone or whatever, right? We'll grab something like that and we'll gnaw on it and chew on it and, you know, just keep reinforcing the worry and the stress and the anxiety. Right? And this is just what we've learned to do because our parents did it and our teachers did it and our neighbors do it. It's just what people do, right? It's not the only way to live, but it's the way most people live. So it's what gets reinforced instead of paying attention to the feelings and going, wow, this is not making me feel good. I got to shift something here because the stakes are too high to not shift something. Because if I feel bad, I can never have happiness. If I feel poor, I can never have prosperity. If I feel weight loss, most people are pushing against their current weight. And as long as you're pushing against your current weight, you're never going to have that shift you're looking for. Right? Turn your attention to what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Relax towards versus push against. And as I said, I've been really kind of in an inquiry around this for the last month. And I've noticed that in general, I spend most of my day with just kind of this clenched feeling inside me. Like I'm just pushing against life instead of relaxing and allowing. Anybody else relate to that? Yeah, again, it's just what we've learned. And there's another way. And it's not that this lunch is, you know, like there's magic something in the food and you're going to walk out of here having this. No, what happens, where this really takes place, is after this workshop, where what do you do the rest of the day? And not only today, but tomorrow, and a week from tomorrow, right? And if you start to pay attention to this stuff, you're going to make shifts and it'll show in your life. So this is really going to the gym. Right? It's not buying the gym membership that gets you in shape. Although we've all tried that too, right? No, it's going to the gym on a regular basis. And if you work those muscles on a regular basis, the mirror will show you that something's different, right? Same thing with this. If you work it on a daily basis, on a regular basis, over time, you'll see huge shifts in your life where you're happier, where you get more of what you want. And ultimately, the law of attraction isn't about getting stuff. I mean, that's, how to say this? That's a crude interpretation of the law of attraction, that it's about getting stuff. No, the deeper level of the law of attraction is changing your relationship to yourself. That you can choose to be happy and joyful no matter what life brings. And then paradoxically, when you can be happy and joyful no matter what life brings, then life brings a lot better stuff. Right? But it's not about the stuff, it's about your relationship to yourself. And if you, you know, are trying to create whatever this is and it doesn't happen, so what? You know, again, camping, it rained on us, right? So, camping, I would like to manifest blue skies, right? Because we're camping. But what about the farmer down in the valley who could use the rain? Right? Those are conflicting agendas because it can't rain and not rain in the same place, right? You know? So, it rained. Now I have a choice. Circumstances outside our control. I can curse the Lord or whatever. Pack up and go home because it's raining. Or deal with it. Or bear it or be happy about it. Right? Circumstances outside our control, but I can control how I choose to respond.
I was just going to tell a story. My oldest daughter's 11 and started raining last weekend, and she looked at me and she said, "I'm going outside." I said, "Okay, it's pouring rain, big, fat raindrops straight down, and the opposite side of our street turns into a river in the gutter. Up into the street and into the neighbor's yard." And she gets about halfway out there and turns around and looks at me and starts giggling. And she's like, "I'm all wet." I said, "You're in the rain. That's what happens." She runs across the street and walks up and down the river, I don't know, probably 10 minutes. And she just, this smile on her face, this innocence for this 11-year-old that's going through all this, "I want to be big, and I want to be little, and I want to be big, and I need to be serious, and I want to be happy." And she's got all this stuff going on. And she sat down in the middle of the street, let the water rush around her, and she just sat there like this with her eyes closed, and just, it was just amazing. And I just sat there crying. I've got my phone in my hand trying to video her, and I'm sitting there crying. And it was just amazing to watch that innocence in me.
And this is how subtle pushing against happens, right? Because she's not here. And we'll do that, right? I wish I bought those stupid waders. Right? A month later, my feet are still like prunes. I had water in my waders for like 12 hours yesterday, right? But it sneaks in that subtly, that easy, where all of a sudden there's a subtle push against that negatively impacts your life. And she's not here, but whatever, right?
Conversation.
Yeah. So yeah, turn to what do you want? You want your daughter to have this information. Well, guess what? You're going on a 10-day camping trip. You got some time. And go to Barnes & Noble and buy those books and read them around the campfire. And have a great time. You know, the book 2 and 3 came in the other week, and Sierra and I were competing for the books. You know, I'm like reading a book, and all of a sudden she took it, and you know, we're both getting value out of reading those books. So, again, this is a great example, right? Turn your attention to what do you want. You want your daughter to have this information. It would be great if she's here. She's not. So pushing against versus what do we really want. And your story also brought up a good point, which is the happiness is human beings' natural state of being. And from the way people live their lives, you wouldn't think that's the case. But that's the truth. Happiness is your natural state of being. Happiness is my natural state of being. Happiness is everyone's natural state of being. And anything beyond that is a distortion that we've learned over time. And think back to your young children days, for all the parents in the room, right? You know, a little baby, they're going to fuss when they need something, and then they're done. And they're all open and delightful and innocent and happy, right? And then they need something and they let their needs be known, and then they're happy again. That's where each one of us started, and we just kind of forgot that on the way because we've practiced being grouchy. We've practiced being irritated. We've practiced being frustrated. We've practiced being disappointed in ourselves. We've practiced all kinds of not useful stuff. So how about if we just change the workout agenda here and practice some different stuff instead? Practice giving love. Practice stop it. Jennifer's referring to Bob Newhart. So if you have never seen this video, I highly recommend it. Google Bob Newhart, stop it. And it's this little 6-minute skit from Mad TV. And if you've got Bob screaming stop it in your head, it's a pretty useful thing. So, and you'll laugh for sure. Stop it or I'll bury you alive in a wooden box. Anyway, back to where we were. Where were we?
Stop it.
I'm seeing Bob Newhart in my head right now. Yeah, so it's time to change habits. That's all. If we pay attention, we'll see that this is what your husband is doing is what most people are doing almost all the time, which is pushing against and complaining there's no water when your hand's on the faucet and all you got to do is turn it on. But it's so subtle, and Jen demonstrated that beautifully for us. Thank you for doing that. Right, because just that subtle, oh, I wish my daughter was here, right? But when you said that, it wasn't a happy feeling. It was a... And that subtle, all of a sudden we've shut off the flow of well-being. Really, that simple, that easy. And so just to have this in our awareness, where we start to pay attention to this, if you choose to take this challenge and do this, I promise you it will be life-altering. Absolutely. So, let's see, did I get everything? Here's my nice agenda written in the car driving home from camping. Very nice. Yeah, I think that's about it. So, any comments or questions? And then, what we're going to do is we're going to go around the room and a chance to introduce yourself briefly. And what I'd like to do is people to share, what are you taking away from today? Because I've been doing most of the talking here, but now this is an opportunity for us to learn from each other. And boy, that's a useful thing. So actually, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to tell on you here, Judy. In the call this morning, Judy shared this situation where she's got a client that she labeled as difficult. Right, and as soon as Judy said that, I learned something. I was like, oh my gosh, labels is such a useful thing to pay attention to in terms of exploring this counterintent thing. Because if you've labeled a situation as difficult, you're pushing against, not relaxing towards. Right? And we can do the mental work to create a different perspective, you know? So that person could be somebody who's teaching Judy how to practice giving love. She could come up with 100 different labels for that person, but as long as her label is that's the difficult person, first of all, she's negatively impacting her experience, and she's putting that energy on that other person, and we don't even have time to go into that. There's a whole body of psychology research that shows that the thoughts and opinions we have about others impacts them. So she's actually making that person difficult with her judgment and opinion of that person. Thank you for volunteering that, Judy. That was very kind of you. So, right, but that's how we learn from each other. I mean, as soon as she said that, it just popped in my head. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to pay more attention to the labels I'm giving things, because right there, that's going to show me, am I relaxing towards or pushing against? So, was there a comment or question before we go around the room here?
I had a quick question. You know, you talked about the bank account. Just as an example, if I'm putting love to the bank account, my husband's putting not so love to the bank account, and we're in the same household, how does that?
Yeah, that's
canceling each other out.
That's the tricky question.
Positives were powerful.
Yeah, but it's still conflicting. Open your own bank account.
Open your own bank account. Yeah, if it's too negative, the best thing is to get out of the environment, if we can. So open your own bank account. And yeah, it's a bit of a tug of war. So it's, are you more committed to positive than he is to negative? Then you can win that tug of war. And obviously the idea would be to switch the dynamic and get him on your side so you're both pulling on the same side of the rope. Sometimes we can do that, sometimes not. And can you, here's really the bottom line of this, Can you be happy even though Todd's pulling the other direction? When you can be happy even though Todd's pulling the other direction, then you're in the place to manifest. But usually we're in that thing of, well, if Todd would just get on board, gosh darn it, right? Which is now counter-intent, which is now pushing against, and it's what we normally do. So that's the, maybe even the level of people, is for you to feel good, who cares what Todd's doing, right?
I get confused about, like, if I want something, am I supposed to think, you know, I'll give you an example, I want a new car. Am I supposed to just think that and release it into the universe and let it go? Or am I supposed to constantly bring it up, I want a new car, I want a new car, write it down, think about it, draw pictures of it, you know, what?
You know, both. I mean, experts will say both. Now, here's the thing. Whether it's once or constant, if you can't release it, then you're really pushing against instead of relaxing towards. You know, oh, I'm managing that. I've got to make that happen. Got to make that happen, right? That's pushing against, and that's getting in the way. So whether you do it once and you put it out there, or you do it on a daily basis and reinforce it and then let go of it, that letting go piece is huge. And, you know, to revisit it, yeah, that's a useful practice. And as long as, again, it's how do you feel? It's paying attention to the feelings. Because if your daily practice is, got to make this happen, got it, right? Then we're in our own way. So does that help?
Yes.
Didn't the interpreters taking it for a test drive to see how your feelings would be as you're in that new car?
Yeah.
And the emotions and things. Then once you're done with that test drive, then it kind of goes away.
Yeah, and just to get those feelings.
Get the feelings.
Yep, absolutely.
And that'll take you to the direction you want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. A very useful question, you know, whenever we aren't getting what we want, is to ask ourselves, for this to be happening, what must I be aligned with? And then becoming aware of that and shifting it. Because, again, there's always an agenda being fulfilled. One night, driving home, I was listening to the jazz station, and they started playing this song, and it was about how drivers are crazy and trying to kill you or something like that. And no kidding, like I had, all of a sudden every driver around me turned horrible. I was like, I turned that thing off. I'm like, I want to make it home alive. But just, that was weird. But yeah, and not only that, you know, then we're not enjoying the drive. And then that means you're not enjoying the drive and you're also messing with your future. Well, thank you all so much for being here. The closing thought is, what if you're important enough to yourself to be happy?